You good? All good? All good. All right, let's just get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stand By Your Band. Hey there, Stand By Your Band freaks and geeks. Stantonio Banderas?
That's the one. That's what we're sticking with.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That voice you're hearing to my right is the wonderful co-host, Tommy Duritz.
Hey. McNamara. Yeah, same hair.
And today we have a very special crossover with the podcast Defend Your Movie. With Farrah Brook and Sean Donnelly. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Before I forget, let's go ahead and plug the studio that we're recording in.
Showbriz Studios.
Showbriz Studios at Showbriz Studios on Twitter.
ShowbrizStudios.com. We planned this for like 20 minutes.
you guys did great.
You were practicing outside. It was a site.
Unique New York.
You were like, all right, Tom, you get Showbriz, I'll get .com.
This is kind of a weird episode because we're just going to upload this straight up so there won't be a big fancy intro because my fucking MacBook broke. So 475 coins for that piece of shit.
Wait, what does that mean?
I had to pay $475 to fix this shit.
Well, why would you say coins?
I was trying to think of a fun clam.
Trying to be a 1950s detective.
Yeah.
Let's coins. Start a Patreon.
How many clams I gotta get? How many clams you need to fix this computer? What is this future machine, by the way?
I've been saying bones a lot lately.
I like bones.
Bones is good.
I'm into bones.
Shells is good.
40 bones.
475 bones. That's like 3 humans. I gotta pay to fucking.
Well, that's got a little Dahmerish, but that's okay. Psychopath. My dad used to say if something was really expensive, and as a joke, he'd be like, "It's a bag of shells." That's what he would say.
I
like that a lot. Yeah, bag of shells.
That's fun. Today we're here to talk about Counting Crows.
Yes,
very controversial.
Well, I think we picked this band because the whole premise of your podcast is kind of like ours, where it's supposed to be like a guilty pleasure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not supposed to be an actual. It's like a good band that a lot of people have a problem with.
Yes.
I think there's a lot more bands like that than movies.
I have to say
there's
I'm here completely non-ironically. I love this band.
It's one of the only
bands that I loved as a kid that I also went to the follow-up reunion concert at Madison Square Garden. Like, I think it was 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now catching up on the music to prepare for this podcast, more than ever do I feel that it's a very important band.
What's the vibe at that concert?
Just
depression.
They were
like a fish concert. Everyone's high. What's the
everybody? There was weed being smoked around, and like
I thought it would just
the
be
lights
like
were kind of up. Yeah. They were in the middle of the garden, like. That's where they were stationed. It was pretty chill.
Just
a lot of kids. I saw a lot of kids.
Slap bracelets
camp.
And the pizza, the Domino's Noid just hanging out.
did he have any like weird moments during the show? I've heard that he like forgets lyrics a lot, or like will just
Adam
like, change things up. Yeah.
Like honestly, it wasn't the best concert ever. Like the songs were not what they used to be when I would go see that.
This is interesting to me because
I loved Counting Crows and Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah,
okay?
See, that's another guilty pleasure.
Both were obsessed about satellites.
It wasn't guilty pleasure to me. It was pleasure.
I don't like Dave Matthews Band, but I know it's a good band. It's one of those kind of bands where I'm like, I know they're good musicians, and I'm like, I just never like them overall.
These were just the concerts I would go to as like a teen and be like, I'm an adult now. I love your real music. Yeah. I was like, this is, you know, good stuff.
Well, they have a sign outside of the concert that says, one girl enters, one woman leaves. Which I always thought was a nice touch.
It'd be funny if you just try to act more and more grown up, so you just started going to like older and older concerts. Like, you're like, I'm going to a big band, Glenn Miller's orchestra.
Look, I was like, a wild youth.
I'm a 65-year-old woman.
I do feel like Counting Crows was one of the first bands I got into where I was like, I am finally experiencing adult music. Whereas to me, they could have been Radiohead. I was like, they're like real music.
They're like legit.
I felt the topics. I was like, this cuts deep.
Yeah.
This speaks to my experience.
Well, it makes sense because they are good. Like, they're unironically good. Like,
they are. They're a good band.
They're the ones, all they suffered by was overexposure.
Right, and as I got prepared for this podcast, I mean, they have albums, man. Uh-huh. And hits.
Oh, yeah.
Hits on hits.
Oh,
you know what
it is?
We know what's in the public eye. A lot of these bands, they tour for years and years. What's your Matchbox 20 still tours. Goo Goo Dolls, I saw them on TV being, you know what I'm talking about?
No. I saw them too, though, but recently.
Not as like a regular set. Like, they were literally the background music for a figure skating competition.
No.
I swear. Wow. It was supposed to be like rock themed.
Well, I've never seen anything sadder in my life than the Backstreet Boys on last season of The Bachelor.
Ooh. They were on it?
Oh yeah. It was a quote-unquote Backstreet Boys concert that they were attending, and then on the date, they went up on stage with the Backstreet Boys. Has anyone seen the documentary about the Backstreet Boys on Netflix?
No.
Lou Pearlman? It's called The Keepers. Devastating.
it's called The Keepers.
It's devastating.
Yeah?
Like, oh, it's devastating.
Why is it devastating?
Because they are so...
They stink.
they will still want it so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
how old is that old one now?
You have... Honestly, this is a documentary of our time.
Would you say they want it their way?
I gotta go, actually. I officially have to go somewhere, so...
They're still, like, on the Millennials tour.
That was rough to see.
They had an album called Millennium. That'd be good.
Yeah, Millennium.
I think you're thinking of Willennium.
It's funny, Millennium and Willennium came out back to back, and I was like, every album should be named like this.
Yeah. It's like in Seinfeld, he has the Newmanium party.
Sean references Seinfeld in every episode we do. He didn't do it with you, but now at least it's come out here.
Yes.
Did you guys listen to the Phil Collins album, Philennium?
I think that like all of the Counting Crows hate is directed at Adam Duritz.
It's gotta be, yeah,
and
it's all.
And nobody knows anybody else in the band.
I think if he had normal hair, half of this hate would not.
I'm gonna I'm gonna cut that down to 25%. I will also say, yeah, fuck that hair.
The hair sucks.
Here's the thing, though. Is it fake?
I read that it was.
It's cultural appropriation.
And it's cultural.
Is it though? Is it white guy dreads or is it biracial?
Oh, that's a good question.
He has a lyric on one of the newer albums where he says, "I'm a Russian Jew American impersonating African."
Oh,
I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna look that up.
It was dedicated to Rachel Dolezal. Yeah. He's gonna be the head of the NAACP for Dover, Delaware.
Rachel Duritzall.
He is 52 years old.
His instruments
include vocals, piano, guitar, and my favorite, harmonica.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good.
Harmonica's great.
Speaking of harmonica.
And a calculator for counting all those crows.
Wow.
He's gonna like... It's got to be so weird to be... Because now he's probably just like a fat 52-year-old,
right? I think he's a fat 52-year-old with a gigantic cock.
You think he's got a big old wing?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. He dated Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, and now it was reported in 2009 he was dating Emmy Rossum.
No.
These are home run hitters, okay? Younger than him. So hot.
Shameless.
I mean, completely.
He was like more... I think you're right. I think the hate for him was the hair, and then he got to date all these people, and they were like, you're not good looking.
There's more. I read a little bit today about some of the problems with him, and one of the big things is that he hates the fans. Like, he goes on their message boards all the time and will, like, talk shit to people and be like, fuck you guys. If you think you have an ounce of the talent that I have in my, like, left pinky finger, you're fucking live in a basement.
Wait, these are the fans or people who are trying to shit
on? These are people who criticize him, but clearly they like the band because they're on the message boards. But he'll like shit on them, and the fans like have a weird relationship with him too, where they get annoyed with the newer stuff, but then I was reading this article that some lady wrote where she was like, I still love to see them live, though. I don't want to go, but I can't help it. Like, the live shows are so good.
I see him on Reddit saying, hey Reddit, I'm a crazy person, but on the plus side, I write a lot of good songs for my band Counting Crows.
Ask me anything.
Wait, what?
And there are some threads saying that Mr. Jones is about his dick.
No, I don't like that at all.
Oh my god.
Oh no, my love for this band is slowly waning.
And around here, what makes more sense if
round here fudge is made?
It'd make more sense if You're So Vain was about his dick. Double entendre.
Yeah, it's definitely a band where I don't want to look into it anymore.
You're right. That's the thing. Enough with this, because they have quality music, and that's what we should be talking about here. The integrity of music.
A Long December is also about his dick.
Every song is about his dick.
He calls his
Doesn't he say
December.
Maybe this year will be harder than the last?
That's from when he switched to dating Courtney. Supposedly, he didn't have sex with one of those two girls. He apparently is not a very sexual dude.
That's why it was a long December. Yeah.
I read a thing where now he has this mansion that he lets this young girl live in, but he doesn't hook up with her or anything.
It's me.
I think that might be a Hollywood thing, because I heard
can
a story.
Confirm.
I think, that's what I'm saying, they're sleeping together, but I think Johnny Gill used to live in Eddie Murphy's guest house.
Oh.
So I think this is a weird thing. L.A., even my sister's house, my sister rents a house in L.A., and they have a guest house in the back, but it's not a big house.
Yeah.
Guest house is just a thing out there, I guess.
Uh-huh. This is how Tommy used to live in John Hamm's closet.
Yeah, you didn't know about it.
Do you love John Hamm? Is that
oh, yeah. I met him too. When I was very drunk, and I told him, I've told this story on the podcast before.
Oh, yeah.
But I was 1:45 in the morning, I went up to him, I was like, I told him a specific episode of Madman the Strategy is the greatest episode of television of all time.
Wow.
Just goes, thanks, man.
He's known for being very impressed by himself. I heard that.
I think he's
been very cool man. And another provider.
He is handsome.
That's proven.
I've
seen pictures.
I know. I'm so jealous.
I've seen him at comedy shows. I've never had the balls to go up and say anything.
Once.
Yeah, I've
what
seen him at UCB. He is a huge comedy fan. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. He's
so
on
I've seen him
Comedy
at a few
Bang
shows.
Bang and shit a lot.
I mean, he comes out to see me every now and then. But, I don't like to have my boyfriends at shows.
He comes to the open mic on Thursday.
Yes. I never plug the open mic. I should be plugging Beautiful Art Mic more.
Beautiful Mic.
That's me, me and Idris Elba. I'm obsessed with Idris
Elba. Oh,
yeah? Me and Dan St. Germain love Idris Elba.
Really?
And we'll just send us back and forth, topless pictures of Idris Elba on Facebook or, on our text.
He's a hot guy. Is he going to be Bond? Did they decide?
No, it's going to be Daniel Craig again.
Oh.
And she should be Bond. He's the man. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Idris Elba's great.
He's unbelievable. He's also a great actor. I'm a huge Wire fan, so he's the coolest character. Stringer Bell is the coolest character ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I gotta watch
whatever.
That.
I think we're going off on a tangent.
Let's talk some more about it. So, have you guys felt the criticism of Counting Crows? Have people made fun of you for liking them?
Not until right now. I didn't even know that there was blowback against Counting Crows.
Oh, really? Then why did you pick them? Because you must have known that there's some hate towards them.
I knew that.
No, I thought we just had to pick a great band we like.
Now you're smiling now.
No, it's true.
I picked them. You know, the only time I have to deal with something is if people were talking about them and shitting on them, I maybe wouldn't have, I won't say anything.
But
now I'm I have more confidence now. I've been I like them. That's what you have to do with Counting Crows.
Why are you standing up right now, John? Jesus.
It did,
you
I don't
to, like,
know.
You take a stand. You go, yeah. I like them, whatever. We can, they're good.
You can pinpoint the exact moment when the public turned Shrek 2, Accidentally in Love.
Yeah,
nominated,
that was the turning moment.
Nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh my God.
I do realize, and maybe it was around Shrek 2, there was some transition where I was very proud of being a Counting Crows fan to where I kept it on the low.
And then they covered Big Yellow Taxi, which is also...
Ooh, that one's
Big
rough.
Yellow Taxi, though, was
that was
fucking
bad.
Historic at the time, though, when it came out. That was a hit.
It was,
that
a,
was
I
a
mean, it was
smash.
On the radio a lot.
I think it was
I heard it a lot.
Yeah.
And it was it was a metaphor. It was a political statement.
Wait, they didn't actually pave paradise?
Hey,
that was literal.
You didn't hear about that? They put up a Starbucks. Fucked up.
I think it was in a movie also. I think that was in a movie as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those remakes are always in movies.
The hate started to swim in. Now I'm remembering.
Yeah.
The Troubles, we called it.
I also think when I was younger,
dark period.
I didn't admit to my friends, because my friends, I think, prided themselves being into cool music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just didn't mention how much. Also, one of the songs, I don't know if you have this, I don't know if I could bring this up yet, but one of the songs I gave you, Defending, that is in a movie, it's a corny movie. It's a corny movie, it's a good movie.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions. It's a good
what
movie.
Escalator scene.
What song?
The escalator scene. Colorblind. It's an unbelievable song.
The most romantic part of a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in my mind forever.
Yeah,
it was one of the first albums I would listen to fully.
That first album?
Yeah. I don't remember which one it was, but like I would listen to every single song. For sure. At Jewish sleepaway camp as a teen.
See, there you go. That's a
thinking that life was Jewish just brutal.
Oy vey, counting clothes again. That's a good sign right there. If you listen to the whole, if it's an album, you listen to the whole thing. Yeah. That never happens ever. For ever, sure. Ever.
I just the I don't know. Everyone turned on them. It was probably Obama's fault.
I remember that album cover. I thought was so cool. It was like kind of beige, like the black, obviously crows. Which at the time I was like, what are these black designs? As I'm saying it, I'm like, well, those were fucking crows. What are these bird like?
They wanted to give you a chance to count the crows.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I couldn't figure it out.
I think that's what it came down to. And that happens a lot. It's like, and you, I think there should be a kind of a pushback on that bullshit, like hipster thing of like, whatever, counting crows. Like I have another, the other thing I was going to tell you that I would have defended is Mumford and Sons.
I would absolutely defend Mumford and Sons.
They're so good.
100%. And that, you know what? It's the taste that we have that must connect with, Mumford and Sons is incredible. Okay, whatever the first breakout album was, and I would listen to it over and over in the car. It was deep, beautiful music. I love a guitar. I love
Little Lion Man. I love was a great strings. Breakout single.
Yeah,
I love. Mm-hmm. Mumford and Sons.
Oh my God!
You probably should have picked Mumford and Sons.
If you're gonna tell me that those are bad songs, I'm gonna tell you you're a bad person.
The point. People aren't saying they're bad songs. What they do is when they get too big, people think it's so uncool
cheesy.
To like.
It's cheesy.
And it's like, no, it's still good.
That's
I just remember like that album was popular when I lived in LA. So, and I think albums really change for me when I can listen to them in cars.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Music is so different.
This is a big part of the podcast. There are four ways to listen to music.
That's Tom's worst theory.
What the fuck?
No, let me hear
in
it.
A car is like crucial.
I think that's a huge
cars
one.
Cars are for comedians getting coffee. That's
the only thing they're for. Well, you're a real traditionalist.
If a car isn't Larry the Cable Guy telling me to, his name is Tater, or whatever the fuck.
All I know is I drove through Runyon Canyon with Mumford and Sons blasting out of my Prius, and I will say that meant the world to me.
Wow.
Were you going to tennis practice? Or were you going what was your four ways?
So the four ways.
I want to hear this.
And these get a little murky sometimes. I actually discovered a fifth way today. These are not for live music, but it's listening in the car. It's when you're like just sitting around with friends, so communally.
Okay.
There's walking around, it's like, you know, walking around the streets, and then there's working out.
Yes. What's the fifth one?
Found a fifth one today when you're waiting to find out that the Apple employee can't fix your fucking computer.
Well, I think, though, that's fair. Retail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, in stores, mm-hmm. which will probably be the worst place to hear any music
not
or songs.
Good.
Oh, you mean whatever they're playing?
That's what I'm Do you mean, like, over the loudspeaker or in your headphones?
No,
I
mean,
was listening to my headphones.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, waiting for my prescriptions at CVS. And
yeah, that's
like,
not a good way.
And
no, that's
brutal.
That's actually Muzak. That's what they call it.
Oh, God, Sean.
I'm serious.
Muzak?
Muzak is, like, instrumental...
Like elevator music is Muzak.
Wow.
Like when you took the elevator
so
eight steps today.
like when Bart Simpson instead
all,
of...
Let's let them know all the boys took the stairs and I took the elevator.
That's weird. True. What's the thing called when you play music on stage? Oh, Muzak.
That's gone. I have played Counting Crows songs at comedy
Muzak
shows multiple
in
times.
My life.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. I played Ron here with my shirt off for
the whole
bit. It's actually really high concept.
I actually have seen this... three times. I've seen you.
True?
I've definitely seen you sing round here.
Oh yeah.
He's great at it.
Strictly to Brooklyn, I'm guessing.
That was a Williamsburg bit.
No, a Williamsburg original.
Do you play on guitar? Or you just play the song.
It's not part of his stand-up act. It's just in a show where he plays music.
I had
also.
A show where I fucked around and did a lot of music.
Oh, okay.
On the keyboard. Yeah.
He's not like mid set and then like pulls out a guitar.
It's even working for your comedy round. But the one out of the three that I picked, Colorblind. Like, to me, I listen to it now, and I when we were figuring out who we were going to defend on this, and I was like, holy shit, Colorblind, this song is unbelievable.
I can't even think of how that goes right now.
Oh, the only thing is, the one thing I will give you about Colorblind that you can shit on is I'm
Tommy,
gonna
bring give me a little
coffee black.
Should we just play some of it? Maybe we should play
Tommy
these as we go.
Such a good voice impression. We should have a.
We
little.
Should play some of these as we go.
Oh,
so
definitely.
That we don't run out of time. Yeah, yeah. So this is Colorblind. I'm gonna zoom.
This song brings back so many memories.
I mean, I just
me.
Like already felt tears in my eyes.
Yeah, it's like.
I mean, I did a very good. Well, that's debatable, but a lyrical contemporary dance in a competition setting
oh my
to this
God.
Song.
If we can find a video of that, we need to post it.
We have to upload
I
that.
I remember one move was this, and it's a podcast, so sorry, you won't see it, but it
we'll
was
describe
like...
describe it. Oh, she's pulling out, like she's opening her chest to show us her heart.
Yeah.
Her
yeah.
very heart.
Her very heart.
There's a creepy line in this song where he goes, I am covered in skin.
Yep.
Yeah, we know Adam. Relax. Yeah. Is that how you get these girls?
He's only talking about his dick.
That is so weird.
Again, every song. Yeah.
I'm full of blood.
Yeah, it's too anatomy driven.
Yeah, I picture the escalator. I picture Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, it's great.
It's beautiful.
It's the scene he comes up, he comes back to see her, right?
Or yeah.
He's waiting.
She's
at the top
leaving,
of the
and he's waiting in the airport at the escalator. This was pre.
It's when she gets back to the city, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is that it?
Maybe I'm
That's
wrong.
That's a driving
it's in an airport,
piano.
Sure.
I think it's in Penn Station.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Wow.
Get your scenes right, Tom.
I don't know.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That song is so good. That song.
Is it though?
Yeah. What? Are you
like
crazy?
That.
You don't like that song?
I that was one that I
let's
didn't...
cue up Anna Begins, okay?
What's oh it'll come up. It'll
that
come
was
up.
In a movie.
Let's
that was in Less
it.
Than Zero.
I've never heard.
Oh,
of that.
Was it really?
He's playing it on the guitar before. Which one? The Dawson's Creek
Begins?
Guy. Yeah, he's playing it on an acoustic guitar.
Oh. That was Less Than Zero with Judge
Maybe I'm thinking
Judge
seen
Nelson.
That.
It's not Less Than Zero. It can't be. Less Than Zero was like 86 or 87.
No,
or
okay. It's I'll figure it out.
It must have been something else.
Mr. Jones was in The Talented Mr. Jones.
That's
not a real movie.
that's the straight to video version of The Talented Mr. Ripley. No, but basically
the
yeah,
rules
that,
of attraction is what
rules
I was thinking
of attraction.
They're all based on books by the same author, that and American Psycho, and those two.
Okay. Oh. But I just think I think it still holds up. If you have a band and they have songs that still hold up, then you're good.
That I will say. So I didn't know that song before today.
Colorblind?
I did not. Somehow, even though I really liked Counting Crows, I didn't go like I didn't listen to full albums. I found like this was back in my illegally downloading music days, and I just found the songs I wanted to hear and just kind of went down a wormhole of that. So I liked like Round Here a lot. I liked Mr. Jones. I loved Long December. There was like 5 songs from them that I really loved, but I didn't go deep. And now I think I like them more.
Long December is a great song,
yeah,
too.
I like so that good. One.
I'm a big depressing music guy.
Me too.
I'm
a fan.
Love depressing music.
A depressing music. What is this?
I did a lot
This is the scene. See, here it is.
It's weird that it's labeled airport scene.
Oh! Is it the airport? I don't think it is, because she comes back.
I did upload that
it
YouTube
has to
video.
No, I literally... Now I want to find out if it's the airport. I don't think it's the airport.
We'll figure it out.
It's a good movie, too, because I'm telling you.
It's a great movie.
He comes back and meets her from, like, the Hamptons or something like that. He drives back, like, ahead of her. He'll fly back from the fucking Hamptons. Well, maybe you do if you're Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, yeah.
Also, at the time, they were actually together.
I didn't know that.
Or it's how they met on that movie. So whenever you have an added on-set romance, doesn't it just amp up?
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
Yeah, no, it's a good... No, that's what I'm saying. Stuff like that also. Like
it's called showmance, Sean.
It's called showmance.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's called showmance.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wouldn't that just be on a TV show?
No one else here was in a thespian theater troupe?
No, were
who
you?
Needed?
Yes, Troupe 132, Glitter... Wait,
your
Glitter,
thespian
Shine,
theater
Glisten,
troupe had
Glow.
Had like a Girl Scout number to it?
Yes, Troupe number 132 and our Glitter... I think it was... Shine, Glitter, Glisten, Glow.
You guys are great actors, but your cookies suck.
What cookies?
Well, you famously did a production of Glitter. I remember.
That's a movie that I won't watch because I heard it's just plain bad. Glitter?
I've never seen it.
Oh, I would defend
it. As a reference.
You would defend Glitter?
Glitter?
Yeah, with Mariah Carey?
Yeah.
No.
Wait, is that not it? Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I very much enjoyed that
film. I don't think anybody can...
It's one of those zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
Look. I enjoyed that film. It's about a singer. It's moving. I don't know what you're talking about.
Damn it.
Right, we'll see. We'll put it on the.
Maybe
I'll watch
put
it,
on
and
the
we'll
Sean
talk
Finally
it.
Season.
And yeah, maybe we'll do it.
Sorry, I was trying to find an Adam Duritz quiz, but I can't find it.
He probably wrote one.
He probably did. He's like, who's the best in the world?
They Adam have them, Duritz. But they're not as funny as like the. We did one for Evanescence a couple nights ago, and it was a pretty. The questions were very good.
Who defended them?
Marsha Belsky.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, we get to post it.
Well, you get to post the podcast.
Hopefully, we get to it's on the computer. Yeah. That
oh
got fucked up.
Shit! But no, Evanescence is terrible, man. That's like
even Marsha.
That guy just died from what was it? Not Limp Bizkit. He's from
Linkin Park.
Yeah. And I was like, peace. They still stink.
Oh, come on!
I can't. If you mix rap and rock, I don't get it. It's on me.
He wasn't rapping though. He was just he was a beautiful singer.
He
just
sang. I tried so hard.
Yeah.
You know who's my favorite singer? So the Rock.
Oh, my God. Are we back to Moana?
Well, you know, I'm just saying God. He has a lovely singing voice.
I think that if he weren't so hot, then that people wouldn't like that voice so much. I'm going to throw it out there.
I mean, he's not in Moana, and you enjoy...
But yeah, but you know what he looks like, and the cartoon who plays him is pretty hot.
Yeah, he's Maui's pretty ripped.
And that's the right phrasing, right? The cartoon who plays him.
Yeah, that's the technical term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, a bunch of cartoons audition, and this one got the part.
The cartoon. Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe Bugs Bunny keeps getting cast and shit. He's got Space Jam 2? Like,
he's gotta be like 112 years old.
I auditioned for that part to be the bunny.
In Space Jam 2?
The cartoon keeps getting
it. What were you, 7 years old? I was going by Tom Brady back then.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's what happens. It fits into our podcast as well, where we always talk about like you were saying, there's places you listen to music. Circumstances of when you listen to these things.
Oh, for sure. That always comes up. If you
being in that movie, that did it for me. Mm-hmm. But also, I would have liked that song regardless.
Yeah. Where
the first time
life.
I heard that, where you're at in your life.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's huge for music.
So, Farrah, you said you got into them in L.A. You were driving around in your
Mumford
Prius.
Mumford & Sons.
Oh, you were talking about Mumford & Sons then? Oh.
Yes.
We're done with that thing. So, what, do you have any memories associated with Counting Crows that
like
means
I
something
said
to you.
Being in camp as and having it in the headphones while I was trying to fall asleep and listening to the full album and being like, this is what life is about.
Yeah,
like, they get me.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, and I do remember it being one of those first full albums that I listened to and that meant something to me and that I would go to a concert for.
Yeah. Sean,
I think my biggest memory, because also they weren't my all-time favorite band, but I liked them a lot, and the movie did. I think that's what turned me to like them more.
Yeah.
Was the colorblind, watching Cruel Intentions and watching that scene and that song. I'm like, oh, these guys are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what did
a movie situation can really get you into a band, too.
That's Cruel Intentions got me very briefly into the Verve. The Verve Pipe? That's right.
I was into
Verve
them
Pipe
too.
Is We Were Merely Freshmen, and then Verve is Bittersweet Symphony.
Bittersweet, which
I enjoy both of those.
Stole from the Rolling Stones.
They stole from the Rolling Stones. Well, no, they stole a string part in the background, and they got screwed, those guys. They took them for all their money, I think.
Wow.
They must have made something. I think they did one more album and broke up, didn't they, or something like that?
No,
or,
I don't know.
But I know
love suing people.
They sued them, and they
holy
it was,
shit!
Yeah, they. I think it was a case of like, from what I understand, I could be wrong. Someone might call me on this who listened to this. I think it was like it was such a faint thing. It was you can hear it, no problem. But I think it was so in the background.
Yeah.
I really think they were like, yeah, we're good. And then somebody was like, nope, you're not good.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that with one of your stand-up albums. In the background of my stand-up album, it's like Woody Allen.
You're like, why are two people talking?
I did think about putting ghost noises in the background of my album.
I think that's cool.
I was going to pretend that it's recorded on my dad's grave.
Oh, my God.
Did you hate your dad or something?
Yeah. Yeah, so Yeah, I feel like the verb, that was all they had. But anyways, Tommy,
what that do you was all they had, the verb.
This is like the number one band of my life, I think.
Really?
When I look back on my life.
Oh, yeah. Is it really?
Not my favorite. I wouldn't say, like, if someone says, what's your favorite band? But they've been like the most present band of like my childhood. I was listening to them the whole time. I had August and Everything After. I had The Greatest Hits, which I used to listen to in the car all the time.
Yeah.
Like my family would listen to them. Everyone was into them. And then when I started
just Counting Crows barbecues.
We're also Mormon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not like, oh, I don't think of them as like a wholesome band for
A little bit though. I remember like songs being on like mixtapes boyfriends would make me, like,
sure.
Yeah, Catholic boyfriends.
But then I had a song, like, it was a song with an ex-girlfriend, and then when I started playing instruments, I learned to play all those songs, and now I still play them as a joke. So they've been with me forever. Like, this band is just like, I don't even have to.
They've played a big part of your life. They have a bigger deal with you than they do with me.
Yeah.
But so your family is still Mormon or no?
I was kidding about the Mormon. Oh! Just gotta think of what like how white could a family be that we all love the Counting Crows.
I feel like I just wonder about you and your family going to a Counting Crows concert in matching outfits.
Yeah.
The McNamara's take over Counting Crows. But no, I think that sounds very present in your life because there's multiple times where you've run into the Counting Crows.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They are. It's actually good music. Like, think about how many bands. Like, even the Verve. Like, all right, they were in, but both of those bands were in that movie. The Verve, they were good, but if you look at them, they were that one-hit wonder, and it wasn't like they followed it up with really anything. They kind of sucked. And I think the rest of that album sucked. It was like, or you look at...
That's the thing. They have a lot of quality.
I actually do have a friend who loved them, now that I'm thinking about it. When I pitched this idea as a podcast, like, a year ago or whatever, I had a person who was like, I actually think the Verve is really good. And I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
Tom is Facebook friends with the guy from the Verve.
Yeah.
What about you, though, Tom?
What's that?
Do they have any significance for you?
They did. I think I've talked about this time in my life a lot, where when I was like 19, I got really into like Mr. Jones and Long December. They were on all my running playlists. And that's when I was heavier and like losing weight. So I would run for like at like an hour and a half or whatever, just listening to those, like, the
on repeat
six songs from
those are
them.
Fucking terrible songs to run
that's
to.
The thing though, I would run to sad music because I was a sad fat little piece of shit. I was a sad little bitch piglet.
Would now you Tommy imagine is. You were like in a movie?
No, I just, you know, thought about the heartbreak in my life and like some girl I'm sure I had on my mind, like that I was trying to lose weight to like impress or
that.
Something.
I get that.
So, but I would listen to that and like the John Mayer sad songs and like what else? They fit along with a lot of what I was listening to.
Yeah, and also they're better, like all these bands we're mentioning, they're better than a lot of the bands that we're mentioning. Like, they're better than John Mayer.
I agree.
And even he has...
A lot of people would argue with you on that, and I don't like John Mayer. I think John Mayer's an asshole.
Me too.
I know, I think he's an asshole. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's an asshole.
Yeah,
From my stories that I've heard, I think, yeah, probably.
He's a great comedian, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty cool in the cellar to put him up all the time.
I've actually never met the guy, but I heard a story once that I was yikes.
He is going to get Montreal before me. That's the one thing I know, for sure. John Mayer.
Stop it. You're a white man. You have a very good chance.
Whoa. Diversity.
Shit.
Get your Indian last name going, or you're screwed.
No, I'm saying stick with where you're at. That's very good.
No, we're dying
breed
here.
Did you see the lineup?
This is a little bit of Anna Begins. We'll talk more about the lineup.
No, let's not. Let's definitely not. It's all or nothing.
I am not worried. I am not overly concerned.
Great drum beat.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
this is another one. I had never heard this song.
Oh, I love it. This was one of my favorites. I'm definitely on one of those mixtapes.
Oh yeah.
Also, it makes sense that you like Dave Matthews Band. This sounds like Dave Matthews Band to me a little bit.
Yeah, I can hear that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
send her off to a coconut island.
Yes, please.
Yeah, some of them.
I love that he keeps saying, "I am not overly concerned."
You could get them by being like, The lyrics kind of stink sometimes. Like, I am covered in skin.
No, I thought they were poetry.
I agree. I thought I was like, they're saying some weird shit that I like.
This is deep.
What was the lyric we were talking about? There's a lyric from this that we singled out. I can't remember.
I said I'm not overly concerned. You thought I was like just talking about the podcast. Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Breakdown?
We'll give it to this breakdown.
But where's the Anna Begins part?
It takes a while. They really build.
You think Adam Duritz sings these songs to himself in his mirror?
Oh, for sure.
There's no shirt on.
He's got a ceiling mirror and a wall mirror.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Ooh.
When kindness falls
apart. That is like Dave Matthews a little bit.
Yeah. Also,
great song.
I know the line. That was her good. Darkness rings a gong.
Yeah, it doesn't also, come to later.
It's
yeah,
moving yeah, me along. Yeah.
Her kindness bangs a gong. It's moving me along.
Yeah.
Are there new bands like we said on our podcast? We were talking about how there's no more movies like Butterfly Effect. Is there new bands like this? There's
I feel
not.
Like I know. You
I
don't
guess like
hear
the Lumineers is the closest analog.
Yeah, but they're like
I feel like they're like more like Mumford though. I don't know.
Or the Hey Guys. Who are the Hey Guys?
That's the Lumineers.
I'm not very up on music, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I
feel like there's a bunch of Hey Guys, but Lumineers and Mumford and Sons, and then the Head and the Heart. I don't know if you guys listen.
Yeah.
They're a lot like that.
What's the band with the lead singer looks like John Mulaney?
Oh, that's a lot of them. That's a lot of bands.
There's one I'm thinking of that's like, what?
Fun.
That's it, Fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The lead singer looks just like John Mulaney.
I've never looked at a picture of them. Oh, by the way, really quickly, I found the saddest headline of all time, I think, on Stereo Gum. It says, Adam Duritz knows you hate him, takes meds that make him fat.
Oh my
Jesus Christ.
I didn't realize he was such a divisive character.
He's very depressive, and like that's why he responds. Like, if you tweeted him, he'll likely respond.
Wow. I need to follow him.
He's
right
the Trump
now.
Of 2000, the early 2000s music. Wait, but my thing is this. I think about the mindset. You were the man for 10 years.
Yeah,
and now everybody's like, now you're a punchline. It's like the Dane Cook thing, where how Dane Cook had all this stuff, and then now people like he was a joke in a Will Ferrell movie. You know, what I'm saying? Like a punchline.
Yeah.
So that's gotta hurt if you're used to having.
Yeah,
this
and if you're
ego.
Somebody who like it wasn't just in it to like cash in or whatever, you like really care about what you're doing, and then you're like, oh great, people fucking think I'm a joke now. Yeah.
That seems like. Hard to deal with, but you just wipe your tears with your money.
I never had a problem with his white dreads because I first of all I thought he was biracial.
I definitely thought that. I thought he was.
Does that change your opinion at all?
Yeah, if he's biracial.
If he's not biracial,
I can't even find him on Twitter.
Yeah, and dumb. Has white dreads.
But also the type of dreads he had weren't like. It wasn't like some corny college kid who deals weed and like listens to like Bob Marley and he's 19. Like it wasn't. But to me, it was like it wasn't as bad. Weren't they like half-ass dreads? I think they're like half hair.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
They had times they were tighter than others, but or he had braids at one point, and then he had the dreads, and then
like, I 100% thought he was
also
mixed.
He's balding. If you're balding, you have dreads like. I'll just take what you can get.
Yeah,
you
know, that's true.
Just do whatever
you
want. I have to admit, I did
it's
have
almost
dreads
done with anyway.
At one point in my life.
Nikki touched those dreads.
What?
Nikki Glaser, friend of the podcast.
Wait, this is important.
Close
what did friend. She say?
She said they were very sweaty.
Of course.
But that's she was at concert. She like loved them, and she was up hell front of the concert and touched them, and he like had swept them, and she said he seemed very annoyed that she did that.
You know how many times those dreads have been to Lollapalooza? Had its own booth. Touch my dreads at Lollapalooza with Adam Duritz. $20.
Dude, I'm going to get some dreads like that and start whipping them around on stage.
No.
What if I did those? That's my
That'd be awesome. I wish I would. That would. That's actually a good question. Like, I'm bald. You're not bald. You're not bald. Well,
that's a nice name. don't come back.
I was looking at your head.
That's not what that guy on the train said.
I started that by saying I'm bald, though.
Yeah.
You're not bald either, but like, it's a good question. Okay, what would you rather? If you were bald, say, right? Like, I'm bald. And It's like, hey, you can have hair, but it has to be, your white guy has to be dreads.
No.
Would you do it?
I'd go bald, yeah.
You go bald, right?
Yeah, what would you do? I think bald looks better than dreads.
Bald looks, bald, yeah, it does.
Definitely.
I'm a fan of bald. I don't have bald. Anything wrong with bald.
All right, how about this? Dreads for a year, and then you get whatever you want.
Yeah, no. I'd do that.
Yeah,
I'd take a year of dreads. I'd play it off like it was a bit.
I had dreads for 6 months.
Actually, it worked out rainbow around dreads. Here, bit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Did you say rainbow dreads?
Yes, it wasn't my choice. I was in a theater production it was crucial to the character. But
what theater production?
Rainbow Bright?
I'm going to show you rainbow a Bright. Picture. And people did treat me differently. I will say,
she did for the pride parade.
Please don't write a think piece about this.
Thing is, I actually got more respect.
Oh my god!
And I was let into bars underage quicker.
You have a picture of it? Is that what you're
fishing for? This picture,
I'm in Farrah's technicolored hair.
It was upsetting, and then I was actually going to South Africa with a class.
Oh my god!
Home of Dave Matthews.
And the right, and the teacher was like, that hair is going to be gone by the time of our trip, right?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And another teacher would make me wear a scarf around them in an acting class. He would have me cover them with a black scarf because it was too distracting.
Unlike the lady.
Too braver to old Italian lady.
We should play some more of these songs. We gotta
definitely
wrap this up.
Definitely.
Really quickly, I heard Tommy say that David Matthews was his favorite African American. This song is Holiday.
Let me call him David Matthews. Like you're his mom. David Patrick Matthews.
If you don't kill those ants.
This is awesome.
Even a full view.
We might not be friends anymore after this. Actually, that's not that bad. It's like giant brains.
I should delete that when I get
it.
If we can post it, that'd be great.
A better picture of it.
That is amazing.
It's Farrah with a person of color to make it even more legit.
Wow.
Look, I'm going to delete this when I book SNL immediately. This is going to be quite the controversy.
Okay, this is Holiday in Spain.
Beautiful song.
Beautiful.
I really like this.
This would have been on my list, but Sean got his picks first.
You guys are a team on this one.
Oh, no, we're enemies.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
We are.
I might skip ahead a little.
Got no place to go, but there's a girl waiting.
I'm going
to
start crying.
Down in Mexico. She got a bottle of tequila.
Tommy, take your shirt off. No.
Bring a little music, I could fit right in.
Fuck.
We got airplane rides, we got California drowning out the window side.
Skip ahead a little bit because we got it wrong.
I love every line of this.
It is really, I like this one a lot. Damn, there was a line I was looking for, but it's okay. That was Holiday in
Spain.
What was
the line?
It was something about a bottle of gin.
I'll be your engine driver in a bunny suit.
Is that a
what about
song?
That?
That's a great line. She had a bottle of tequila, a bottle of gin.
Yeah.
If I play a little music, I can.
Oh,
right,
a
bottle of Jack.
I really like that.
With my Mr. Jones dick.
Yeah.
Sit right in.
Sit right in, yeah.
This next song is Angels of the Silence.
Oh, this is
a rocker.
From the start.
This is better than most alternative rock.
No, you gotta get the beginning.
You need the beginning?
Oh, yeah. It drives up wildly.
This is the best demo ever. This band has everything.
You should sing this song, Tommy.
I don't know, I won't.
Didn't make it any easier to leave me where I stand.
Nice. Beautiful song.
That's dirty. That's great. That's a great song. All right, I'm trying to rush the long
song.
I'm trying to rush the long so we can get you out of here. We got two left here. It's Round Here and Mr. Jones, which I think most people know these two.
Round Here is great. Round Here.
This is
beautiful.
Such a good song.
Oh, Sean.
Ooh.
So then another one like a pretty depressing song.
Oh yeah,
this is what
the
I
crumbling difference between wrong and right.
Yeah, that I like what Tommy said. Like, this is what you want from them. Yeah, you want this type of song
for sure.
myself and back again. Where?
I don't know. He doesn't know. Wait, listen to this about Tom's girlfriend.
Yeah, this is how I'm telling people.
He could ask her why she's crying.
I don't know. Hey, shut up in there. We got my friends over. We're hungover trying to watch TV.
We're hanging around this town.
So this last song is, of course, Mr. Jones, which might be...
This might be one of the biggest one-hit wonder. Right, it's not a one-hit wonder. It might be one of the biggest singles of all time.
Yeah, this is their biggest single for sure.
Absolutely.
First major hit. Oh, now it's giving me their... Ooh.
That's just a yellow hair.
What is that, Lisa Simpson?
If Mr. Jones, if Mr. Jones is about his dick, he's saying that his dick is talking to a black-haired flamingo dancer. Oh, it's about his friend, former bandmate, Marty Jones, which is what he calls his dick.
Nah, former bandmate.
Yeah, he used to play guitar with his erect penis.
Oh, no.
That'd be painful.
It was number one in Canada top singles.
Yeah.
It only hit number two on the U.S. Billboard.
Really? I'm shocked at that.
Yeah.
They played this video round the clock on MTV.
Also, it's a song that it's still a single. Like they play it on radio stations all the time. That's a lot of how I got into them. Actually, is they were in my hometown. They played them on the radio all the time. That song and even Big Yellow Taxi, they played a lot. And I was like, oh, I really like Round Here, Long December, and Mr. Jones so much, and Hanging Around. But that one's great. I tried to do that at Live Band Karaoke and failed miserably. I ruined it. I was so dumb. But yeah, that's a great song. This whole playlist is great. I only knew before coming into it two of the songs, and then I think I had heard maybe one other a little bit. But yeah, we got to wrap this up. So any final thoughts on this playlist before we give it its rating?
No, I think you're making me listen to... I haven't listened to them in a while, so I think you're going to make me... listen to it more.
Yeah.
I think now I have a newfound appreciation.
Yeah.
Because, as you're playing, I'm like, hey, they're really good. Like, they hold up. You know?
This is one. Sometimes we make these playlists where I immediately delete them and I never want to hear them again. This one, I think I'm going to go back to.
Nice.
This one and the ABBA one. Tommy, what are your thoughts?
6 out of 6.
6 out of 6.
I usually give very low scores. This is a perfect playlist, perfect band. Perfect friendship time with you guys.
It was great friendship.
Yeah. I agree. This is a great playlist. I'm going to go 5.5.
Who
makes it out of 6?
Just to be the Simon Cowell.
There's 6 songs.
That's an amazing score. Highest score we've given collectively, except for maybe one. Yeah.
We both give ABBA really high.
Yeah, maybe 6 is
true. ABBA's unbelievable.
ABBA's so good.
Yeah.
They're great. One last time, thank you to Showbriz Studios for having us. Check them out at Showbriz Studios and showbrizstudios.com.
I was supposed to do that part.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sean Farah, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you for having us.
Great.
Of course.
This is so much fun, man.
Thanks. Yeah, yours was so fun, too. Check out their podcast, Defend Your Movie, which is a ripoff of this podcast.
Perfect.
You guys have anything else you want to plug?
I have a Twitter at Shawnee Time. My Twitter and the podcast. That's fine. Yeah,
awesome.
That's perfect.
Check me out on Twitter at Farah Brooke.
Hell yeah.
Check it out. Check out her open mic Thursdays.
Oh, yes.
It's a beautiful art mic Thursdays at Revision Bar and Lounge.
One drink.
Yeah.
One drink, 2 minutes.
Relapse.
If you're lucky.
if this comes out, if we are able to get this out soon, I'll be in Denver this very weekend at Comedy Works and then Boulder Comedy, whatever. And most importantly, check out me and Tommy's live show at Caroline's, which will feature a little bit of the podcast on it at the end with guest Mateo Lane. August 2nd, Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy. Promo code MOMMY for $10 tickets. Langston Kerman, Mateo Lane, Lisa Traeger,
Sam Murrell,
Josh Gondelman.
Josh Gondelman, we didn't even mention.
What a fucking lineup.
Wait, next Wednesday?
This is next Wednesday the 2nd. So check
thanks
that
for
out.
Asking us to do the show, guys. We're really appreciate it. We do stand-up comedy as well.
You guys do stand-up?
We're not just podcasters.
We're actually just pluggers.
Tommy, anything else you want to say?
If this comes out this week, which it might, I'll be at the Big Hunt this weekend in D.C.
Nice.
Featuring for the great Megan Gailey. Come to those shows.
Come to Union Hall every third Wednesday of
the month. Great show.
Rent for Rent Party. Tom and Tommy have done it.
Great
It's
time.
Great.
All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Thanks for listening,
guys. Well, tell them what we say at the end.
What's that?
We do say keep it crispy at
the end. Yeah, wait. Keep it crispy. So on the count of five, after I say this, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It helps us out a lot. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of shitty ratings from Bare Naked Ladies fans who are mad at us. So, which is really frustrating because I fucking defended Bare Naked Ladies in the episode. But so if you can help us out with a little iTunes review, that would be fucking awesome. Thanks, as always, to Bob Nugent, Mike Carrazza, and unfortunately, I didn't get a voicemail from Jared Thompson. And I didn't ask him. But all right, thanks for listening. Bye.
Keep it crazy.